Discipleship that demonstrates the truth of Jesus. We can be changed through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to grow up and mature in Jesus. We need to exhibit Jesus. We need to lead people to God whose hearts need to be changed. We can't do that unless we grow up and be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to bend the knee, be changed, released from captivity. It's a tough passage, a passage of no compromise from Paul to Timothy in his ministry and ours today. We need to be a church that demonstrates the love of Jesus. That's our call. Well, those of you who were here last Sunday morning will remember that's some of the phrases that Rob preached on, both passionately and with conviction. And they kept kind of buzzing around my head as I was preparing this week. How can I do justice to Rob's message, let alone Paul's message? Well, by simply trusting that throughout this week, the Holy Spirit has indeed been working in and through our hearts. And with that message and those encouragements and those challenges from Paul, from Rob last week, from Paul's letter to Timothy. And for some here this morning to receive the gift of Scripture, which is the title of this sermon, receive the gift of Scripture possibly for the first time, and for others, probably for most of us, probably and possibly to take the Word of God out from this place and to pass it on to others, whatever the cost. So with that kind of reflection on last week, and as I unpack this passage this morning, let me just pray that indeed the Holy Spirit will work in and through our hearts this morning. So let's just pray as we unpack this passage. Father, we just want to pray that you will indeed challenge each and every one of us. Lord, that you will encourage us to take your word, that wonderful gift that you've given us, and to take it out and to give it away to others, Lord. Speak through me this morning, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But the word of God cannot be chained. The word of God cannot be chained. Well, that's 2 Timothy 2, verse 9 from the New Living Translation, and we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. And as we've learned over the past few weeks, Paul's in chains. He's in prison. He's in Rome. And just like we heard Anne Lee last week in St. Christopher's Hospice, heaven awaits. He knows, Paul knows that his earthly ministry is coming to an end. So he writes his kind of final instructions and his encouragements to Timothy, this young pastor of the church in Ephesus. Paul's in chains. He's in prison for preaching the gospel, conveying the truth, as Rob put it last week, the truth about Jesus. Paul might be in chains, but the word of God cannot, just cannot be chained. The truth about Jesus is no more popular today than it was in Paul's day, but it still reaches into receptive hearts. When Paul said that Jesus was God, he really angered the Jews who'd condemned Jesus for blasphemy. But Jews became followers of Jesus. He angered Paul, the Romans who worshipped the emperor God, but even some of Caesar's household turned to Jesus. And when Paul said Jesus was human, the Greeks were just completely outraged and furious. They thought divinity was soiled if it had come into contact with humanity. And still, many Greeks accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Paul might be in chains, about to enter eternity through execution, but the word of God cannot be chained. And it's almost as if Paul's looking Timothy in the eye And he's addressing him personally. You, however, that's the NIV and the ESV. If you look at the New Living Translation, it says, but you know what I teach. You, Timothy, you hold fast. Hold fast to my example. The word patience in verse 10 means endurance. Hold fast, Timothy. Stick with it. Even when the going gets tough. It's a clear, strong contrast to the lifestyles and the teaching of the false teachers. You, Timothy, hold fast to my example. Paul's giving him a totally different model for faithful ministry and living in contrast to his opponents. You, Timothy, hold fast. The repetition of my in verses 10 and 11, my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings. It kind of places a clear emphasis on Paul's model. You, Timothy, hold fast to my example, my model of ministry and lifestyle. Hold fast to the gospel, Timothy. But all of this comes at a price. Not just in that generation, but in every generation since, including this generation's and generations to come. I doubt you and I would ever go through floggings and beatings and abuse and prison, stoning to the point of death, just to make a name for ourselves. Nobody in their right mind would do that, but Paul did, to bring glory to God. You see, Paul had a higher purpose in mind, to bring glory to his King, King Jesus. And that's the example, that's the model. Timothy, and you, church, in the 21st century, hold fast to the gospel that comes at a price. And not only that, Timothy, not only that. Look at what happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, cities I visited on my first missionary journey before you joined me, Timothy, on my second journey. Lystra was Tim's hometown. He was probably aware of what happened on that first trip. And he'd have known from his first awareness of Paul that suffering had been a central part of Paul's work, an essential part of the model, the example. Hold fast, Tim. It's probably going to be a rough ride. But don't worry. Don't worry. The Lord rescued me. Now, that doesn't mean that God kept Paul from experiencing any harm. In Lystra, he was stoned almost and left for dead. And it's possible that Timothy witnessed the event. But the Lord rescued, preserved him from death, so he could continue to preach and continue to work. In fact, Paul says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Even, dare I say, in comfortable Beckenham and certainly in Penge. I don't know if you know Bleen Grove. It's a side road off Maple Road, off the High Street in Penge. It was in my parish. And on one side of the road was an empty NHS building and St. John's Primary School. And on the other side was part of the Groves estate, where in one particular block, the local drug gangs operate, often using children to move drugs up and through county lines, going over county lines. And I'd often go to pray there at odd times of the day and during the day and sometimes into the early evening for God to make that NHS building available so that I could move St. John's Church there, move out of a cold, often damp Victorian barn of a building onto the estate, next to the school, in amongst the mix and the community. And I often went there to pray for those gangs and those kids that were wrapped up in what is now defined in law as modern slavery. And when I could, I'd often chat to those children. You know, there's an eternity of lifestyle to all this stuff. It's Jesus. Was I in any danger? Possibly. Probably. Never told Sarah. Paul gives us a totally different model for faithful ministry and living in contrast to his opponents. You, Timothy, you, church, hold fast. Continue the work. Suffering and taking risks for the gospel are an expected part of Christian living. There's an unbelieving world out there that remains deeply hostile to the gospel. But we're called to hold fast to Paul's example, his model, and get in the mix and introduce Jesus to a hostile world. Have a look at this film clip.
March 2009, one day early in the morning, Marzia received a phone call from a stranger. He had some question about the car document and asked her to go to the police station. And we didn't know why and what was going to happen. But we just prayed together, and she left. She went to the police station, and I was waiting for Marzia to return from the security police. Suddenly, I heard the sound of her with a few others behind the door. Well, I saw her standing there with three guards. And I was so shocked when they ransacked everywhere, and they took both of us with all our belongings, like Bibles, Jesus movies, into the security police. We had long hours of interrogation. I believe it was in the first day that he threatened us to physical torture. In that dark cell in the basement, we just hugged each other. We said goodbye because we thought it was our last day on earth, and we were so scared. I remember the only thing that we could do in that dark cell in those moments was just praying for each other.
We met each other for the first time. It was 2005. And after finishing our theology courses, we both felt that we had the same passion about our country, to return to our country and to share this message with our people. That's why, even though we knew that how much is dangerous, we decided to go. And we called our pastor. He was in London, and we asked him to send thousands of Bibles. And it wasn't easy for them. And we received those New Testaments, and we started our first mission. And usually at night, we carried about 140 New Testaments in our backpack and put them in the mailboxes. I remember sometimes it was during the winter, we had to walk for long hours, for about 8-9 hours. And after almost 3 years, we could distribute 20,000 New Testaments. There are some stories, amazing stories, that how God protected us, and we could see his miracles.
We were distributing Bibles, we were talking to people, and we were having these two house churches in our own apartment. And we knew that it was risky. We spent almost 9 months in prison, and 14 days we were separated. We were staying in solitary confinement. And I can say during those 9 months, we had almost about 10 trials, 10 courts. And in each court, the judges and our interrogators would threaten us to execution by hanging. And they wanted to put pressure on us to deny our faith in Jesus.
We didn't have Bible with us. But we learned how to live with the verses of Bible, and every day we were praying and asking God to give us this power to live those verses and to show him through those, through our behaviors to prisoners. It was almost at the 9 months that we heard that we had many supports from different parts of the world. And because of all these supports, the government had to release us, unlike their desires.
And you know, Mercy mentioned about those Bibles that we were distributing. At that time, we were just praying for those Bibles. We didn't know who would get those Bibles. And I remember it was 2 years ago, we were in Australia, and we were invited to a church. After our speech, a couple came up on the stage, and they were both of them. They were crying, and they started to share their stories. They said that the wife found one of those Bibles that we put in their mailboxes, and they found the Bible, and the whole family came to Christ just by reading that New Testament that we put in their mailboxes.
Fast to my example, my model, Timothy, and church, and hold fast to Scripture. Now, that's what those two women did. They held fast to Paul's example, almost to the point of death, and they held fast to Scripture. As for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those for whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. You know, I'm so grateful to this place for all the teaching that I received over so many years. I'm a bit like Timothy. I've known the Scriptures since my parents brought me to children's church. I can even remember one eventful Sunday when we had a different sort of pattern of services over in the hall. And Tara's dad, Roy Wisdom, did a talk about Jesus walking on water and getting one of your brothers out to attempt to walk on water in a baby bath. Needless to say, it didn't work. And I continued to learn through my years in Caleb Club, where I became convinced of the truth of the gospel. Amazing teaching over many, many years. But that can also be a bit of a problem. You can't hang on to Scripture. It's too dynamic and it's too exciting. It changes lives. You just have to go out and give it away. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But all too often, we can become obese on the word. We need to get out and work it off. Take risks. And Paul encourages Timothy to hold fast to the word, to Scripture, not in a sense of holding on to it, in fact, almost just the opposite. And remember, all Scripture in verse 16 for Timothy would obviously refer to the Old Testament, but also by implication to some in the New Testament writings, some of the New Testament writings, which by this time were already being considered as Scripture, were around at the time. And if I'm honest, and I can be, after all, I'm amongst family, aren't I? That's one of the reasons why I disappeared for 13 years, to Annalee and to Penge. I was a bit like Eliza in my Fair Lady when she said, words, 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 I'm sick of words, just show me. Or in my case, go off and show others. You know, whenever I'm out, I always carry gospels in my briefcase to give away. Almost every day of my ministry in Penge, I used to go and work the high street. And I always had these gospels in my pocket or in my briefcase to give away. You can't hang on to this stuff. It's too dynamic. It's too exciting. It changes lives. You just have to go out and give it away. And Paul reminds Timothy of the power of Scripture to change lives. The Holy Scriptures, he says, were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And as I reflected on Paul's words, it kind of struck me, Paul's almost kind of recommissioning Timothy. Hold fast to Scripture, Timothy, but go out and make new disciples. The word has the power to change lives, power that leads to salvation, to make new disciples. And Peter knew this when he wrote a couple of years earlier, probably again from Rome, "For you have been born again, not from perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Hold fast to Scripture, Tim. It's powerful, and it'll change lives. Power that leads to salvation. A couple of weeks ago, Rob preached about donuts. Well, more precisely, he used donuts as a visual aid. Now, I'm not sure how many donuts he had, but probably about, I don't know, 25 or 30 of them. And now, the problem with donuts is that they don't last very long. A couple of mouthfuls, and they're gone. And they're full of sugar, and they're full of fats, so they'll probably just make you fat or rot your teeth. Rob had, I don't know, 25 or 30 donuts to give away. But at the end of this service, I've got 100 Mark's Gospels to give away at the end of the service. Now, they won't make you fat, but they will change your life or the lives of others. And I want to come back to that in a minute. You see, it's word that lasts forever. And the word of God cannot be changed. And I believe for some here this morning, God's unchained word is actually changing your life for the first time. And if that's you, take a copy of Mark's Gospel and read it. You see, not saved by believing the word. We're saved by trusting in Jesus who's revealed in the word. What's the relationship between the word and salvation? Well, the word reveals our need for salvation. It's a mirror that shows us how messed up that we are and in need of a savior. And the word makes it very clear. We can't save ourselves. But this unchained word reveals God's amazing plan, his awesome plan for salvation. Jesus died on a cross, and he took all the mess of our lives, and he nailed it to that cross. If you trust in him, if you'll give your life to him, he'll save you. New life, new birth. And the word gives the assurance of salvation. It becomes our spiritual food, that nourishes us to grow in grace and to serve Christ. If that's you this morning, take a copy of the unchained word and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe God's word into your life. Paul now brings the focus back initially onto Timothy and then beyond Timothy to the church. He's preparing him to continue his task when he's no longer around. He's looking beyond both of them to the church to continue the work until Jesus returns. The New Living Translation translates verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God. The NIV says all scripture is breathed out by God and is useful to teach us what is true. And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, it straightens us out and teaches us what is right. It is God's way of preparing us for the good thing that God wants us to do. All scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. Paul's stressing the divine origin and authority of scripture. He doesn't point to human authors as inspired people. He's pushing home the truth that the writings themselves are the words spoken, breathed out by God. And Paul's stressing the authoritativeness of scripture and the divine origin of scripture is the reason for its power to convert and its usefulness in training. It is God's way of preparing us for every good thing God wants us to do. The word of God cannot be chained. And Paul encouraged Timothy to hold fast to the word, to scripture, not in a sense, if you like, of holding on to it. In fact, the opposite, preparing us for every good thing God wants us to do. So here's a bit of practical application. Here's a good thing, if you like, picking up the words from that text, an encouragement. I bought 100 Gospels. I want you to, if you want, only if you want to, and if you're really up for this, I want you to take a Gospel. I don't want you to keep it. Don't chain it up by keeping it. Release it and be released yourself. Take someone out for a coffee this week. Talk to Brenda afterwards about what she does week on week. She'll explain it when afterwards. I haven't got time to do it now. But what she does, take a gospel. Take somebody out for a coffee this week. Take it to work. Take it to college. Take it to the gym if that's your thing. It's a gift that will change lives. Those two women walked miles, night after night after night after night, and they put around 20,000 gospels in people's post boxes, trusting that the word couldn't be chained, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the way would be made straight, and lives changed. And God honored the risks that they took and their faith. And God will do the same. He will honor the risks that we will take for the gospel. Take one of those Mark's gospels. Take it and give it to somebody this week. Change a life. The word cannot, absolutely cannot be chained. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that in each and every one of us this morning, you will just not only encourage us, but give us the courage to take your word that cannot be chained and take it out from this place and change people's lives. Lord, it's a gift you've given us, but we need to give it away to other people. And give us the courage, Lord, to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.